Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is The Lois Effect. My name is Elisa.
My name is...
Oh,
you're like, what? Who's this?
It's like a huge pause. Did you have to say your name or did you just cut out?
No, I cut out. I think it was my AirPods were not fully positioned.
Okay.
Oh, that's what she said. Hi, darling.
Hi.
All right. So I want to just get right to it. So I appreciate you keeping me in the loop when you have been getting updates from our lovely, loyal, beautiful listener, Marguerite, and we've been getting updates about her amazing son, Josh, and without getting into specifics, because we want to focus on the energy, it's a vulnerable, tender moment or moment of transition. And do we know if she's listening right now?
Yeah, she is. She's in the chat.
Okay, great. Okay, so I wanted to start with this. Marguerite, I would like to pull up the database of the messages. I wanted to see how it all lands. Let me just find it here. Okay. So just type in the word pick whenever you are compelled, and I without music.
Right.
And while this is in silence, let's take a moment of silence to energetically, as Marguerite types in the word pick when she's ready to. So however long that moment of silence is, let's just all collectively join together to hold space for this vulnerable time. Okay, so I'm ready when
she's
you
already
all.
Typed
did you
in
say
the word,
something?
She's already typed in the word pick. So.
Yeah, I didn't do it yet. I didn't do it yet. I was setting it up so that we have a moment of silence.
Right.
Okay. I'll tell you when I'm ready. Okay. So we're going to have a moment of silence. All right. So anytime, Marguerite, you can type in the word pick. So let's just be quiet. Okay, beautiful. And the number affiliated with this message is 251. 251. Okay, here's the message. Energy stream adjustment is understanding you've graduated to become not the person of your expectations, but one merging within source's flow. How interesting. Energy, just those three words, energy stream adjustment. Holding a moment of silence, whatever the situation is, I think that's a great example of an energy stream adjustment. Right? If you're feeling tension and a potential conflict, got into it with my older son yesterday. And what did mother do? I walked away. That's an energy stream adjustment as well. You follow what I'm saying? So that's interesting that that's the first three words of this message. I'll read it again. Energy stream adjustment is understanding You've graduated to become not the person of your expectations, but one merging within Source's flow. 251.
And she already wrote, very moving. I appreciate that message.
It's so perfect. That's all we can do in a situation like this.
Yeah.
That's really all you can do, is to be conscious of and mindful of your energy and how you can shift it. And I love that, to become not the person of your expectations. That's, there's so much pressure. And expectations, that's a very broad term. You know, do I expect a negative outcome? Do I expect that I have to be the stoic person? What do I expect? We surrender that so that we are the one merging within Source's flow. I think it's I've never read this message before. I mean, I wrote it, but I never read it before.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think I've ever heard this one either.
Never. Yeah.
Well, 251, when you said those three numbers, I was already thinking, okay, so it's an 8 altogether, and then the different pieces are basically about, well, it's about cooperation and connectivity, but also being in that, we're talking about in that flow, that number 5 is about change and expansion. And not really knowing, you know, what's going to happen. I've always talked about the 5 being that curveball. You know, you just don't know. And it's about being adaptable. But also, it's about knowing who you are within as your foundation, because you're going to go off that foundation. You're going to build off of it, but you're not going to stay in that same box. Of us, you know, basically the words of the 4 not going to stay in the same box, but you're not standing on nothing. You have something there. And then that 1, I kind of look at it as like it goes down to a particular point. So it's back to this 1, which in the message is being in that flow of Source. And so the feeling when you were reading that was about when you are taking that moment and you're just being present. That is really what it is, and you're not forcing anything, but you're having a chance to, one, get centered, catch your breath, and also to really look around and see and feel what is happening, and not pushing anything, because they're saying things are already in motion, things are already in the creation mode, and you're just seeing how it plays out, because you have done and you are doing your part. And gosh, they're showing me so many different images, like, you know, like it's a it's a dance. In that sometimes you're leading, but when you're dancing with Source, you are part of Source, and you also have to be led, you know, just, like you said, surrender, because you're definitely not going to be the one leading the dance. So it could be a very beautiful thing when you're in with that motion, or it could be, it can also just be a little frightening if you're not sure. But it isn't about if it's a good or bad thing, right? It is a neutral thing. So sometimes being able to see, okay, well, where is this going? You could do this dance, be like a train wreck, because you're trying to force it. And, you know, this being in the flow and not resisting is a learning. It's a learning period, but it's also it's learning, adapting, but also appreciating where this is leading. You know, what are you creating together? She just typed in stepping back from confronting the doctors. which, good. Yeah.
Good. I just feel, it feels like that's the right thing to do right now.
Yeah. Not mm-hmm. trying to control the situation, she types. Yeah.
I'm so glad this is the message, because it really supports what she's going through in terms of control, confrontation.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So we're definitely sending you and Josh and the whole situation.
The doctors and the hospital, everything.
Yeah.
The nurses, the support people, everybody.
Good energy. Supply chain. As you figure, you all figure this out, you know, it is being figured out. It's just, yeah.
It is.
Well, you know, this is, what was I listening to? I think it was a channeled reading from one of my friends, Elizabeth Losey. Who was doing stuff around the eclipse. And, it was like, so that was like, what, that was last week. And so, you know, we've just in our household, we've had a friend of ours pass away. So the funeral's today.
Who passed?
One of Anna's old camp counselor friends.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, you know, and I knew her. I knew her, you know, way back in the day. I really didn't keep up with her, but she was also, you know, I don't think she was doing that well, but she was still, you know, fairly. I mean, not. It wasn't like. I have, you know, a friend of theirs. There's a couple of friends that we attended a gathering, you know, to honor their memories, and they passed away like a month ago or so. But they passed away like a week from each other, and they were partners. But they were, I don't know, they were in their, I actually don't know how old they were, because they were heavy smokers, so I wasn't sure. They're older than
Anna, right?
You know, so right. they're probably in their 60s.
Right.
So it's been an interesting time to be around that type of energy, and these two people, the one in particular was very spiritual, did numerology and did a lot of work with crystals. So it was just very, it's been very interesting to see, you know, for those of us left behind, how we you know, how we remember our friends and our loved ones. And you know, it got me thinking about that, you know, just not like, oh, how would I want to be remembered necessarily, but like setting the vibe. Like this was, we attended a little gathering at their house on Sunday, and it was just, you know, the house was cleaned up. Apparently, I'd never been there, but family had been really cluttered with, you know, just crystals everywhere, and but you know, it was, everyone was just sort of sitting around and recounting stories of their experiences with both of them, and you know, they were just such characters, so there's a lot of laughter. But, you know, but it was like, well, that, and then picking out photos, you know, this is interesting, because this is when I was at home, I had visited my aunt, and she had, I requested some photos, if she could dig up some photos of my grandfather, because I don't think I don't have any pictures of him. I've never met him. And so she's like, oh, no, that's good. It'll be a project for me to work on. So by the time I did go to see her, she had, a little stack of pictures, and she said, well, you can go through these. And I got some, but I also just got some. She, you know, she was like, I'm going to go through these. I don't know. I don't really need to keep these. And I said, well, some of these are really nice pictures of you and Robert, her husband. And she's like, well, you know, like, yeah. So, you know, you keep them. And she's like, well, maybe, I guess, you know, that way I know you have them. And, cause we were talking about how, my cousin, when my cousin Sonny passed, you know, or when anyone passes, you have to have, you know, you want to have these pictures of them, and they blow up really big, and you have a little collage of them at a gathering. And I think my aunt was like, yeah, I don't, when he passed, I think his sister wasn't sure what to do with some of the, you know, these are now basically copies of photos that they had put on a poster board. And she just, you know, I don't think she could really handle having it in that setting, you know? So anyway, we were just sort of, I was like, oh, you know, that's true. But some of these are really nice pictures. And she said, okay, then, you know, you hold on to them. I know you have them. And okay. So it's just, again, this thinking of, you know, we're thinking when it's time to go, you know, what kind of pictures would you want to have of you, or what kind of stories? Mm-hmm. You know, it was just interesting. And to see, so with these people that we were remembering on Sunday, the kind of impact they had on their community and their neighborhood, you know, and all their friends and family, I thought that was, it was really heartwarming.
The ripple effect is amazing. We have no idea.
Yeah, exactly. You just don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't know how you affect other people. And it goes both ways. I mean, I'm still kind of processing my own childhood and things that I saw but don't recall. That I experienced but don't know that it's part of my experience and part of who I am now, and how it comes out in different ways, you know, whether it's good or bad, but making some of those connections. So, you know, when we, you know, making peace with something, it's because there has been a disturbance. So even this friend of ours, we're going to go to the service today. Like, she had, dated a friend of ours, and it had gone badly. These are things I don't remember necessarily, because I wasn't really part of that group. Just sort of because I was my cousin and I lived in the same house, we kind of knew some of these people. But yeah, so her ex, who is happily married to somebody else, you know, it's been years. You know, she was in on the loop of what had happened, and just recently, and she's like, oh, you know, that's, you know, like, I'm really sorry to hear that. But then, you know, I think about that too. Like, gosh, for someone she's younger than the person who passed is still like in her 40s, probably mid 40s.
Oh my goodness. Oh my God. I know. It's so sobering.
But I feel like this is that time where, you know, people are, souls are just deciding, well, whether, you know, should I stay or should I go? And I don't know enough about her situation to see, you know, I think so many people were kind of caught off guard because they hadn't heard from her in a while. So to get that news was a little much, like, whoa, what's happened? But seeing even that, we have a Facebook thread, a Messenger thread, and a lot of her old camp friends were like, oh, you know, I just, you know, all these crazy stories of, you know, of their time together as camp counselors, which anytime you're associated with camp, it's like, well, that's crazy. You know, there's always going to be some crazy stories. That's always fun to, and you could hear, you could feel that, that really positive, loving energy of here's a person who really meant a lot and who had a big influence in, you know, at that age, because everyone who's a camp counselor is pretty young usually. So, but to even have that, you know, decades later, that was really nice to hear. And so I guess that was something that I've been silently pondering, you know, a few days, is, you know, how are people remembered? And there's balance there. I mean, we've had losses earlier in the year within our family, and, you know, no one's an angel the entire time. So it's interesting when people do come out of the woodwork and what they remember,
Yeah, everybody gets nominated for sainthood all of a sudden.
Let's write
the Pope. Right, this needs to be canonized. Right. Yeah. Meanwhile, they were like, you know, a criminal. But no, they were great.
But that is, I think that's, it's important to keep that in mind, I guess, really in any situation, you know, not just when someone's passed.
Right.
But it's important to know that there are many facets to everyone's personality. I mean, even in this time of like the midterm elections and, we look for those incriminating stories. This person did this and this and this, and you're right. You know, you have to pay attention to that because that also speaks to someone's character. That is something you have to consider. But everyone has a character. Everyone has something, you know? Just keeping that into perspective, like, well, if someone like, you know, Trump was able to become president, it's, you know, just despite all the things about his character.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does change the landscape a lot, but still, but even with him, it's not even about giving him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I didn't want him to be my president, but doesn't mean I don't want him obliterated off the face of the earth, you know, either. So there are these extremes.
Right.
What else did I see? These are just little snippets that I've seen recently. Like, I was listening to Stephen Colbert, the talk show host and comedian. It was just a thread about he was interviewing John Oliver about the royal family. And even John Oliver had done something, you know, with when the Queen had passed away, it was one of his reporters, or it was a snippet he was playing of black girls who were British, who were like, you know, we don't. What are your thoughts on the Queen passing? They're like, well, you know, we're sad that because she is a person and she died. But and they're like, well, what's the but? Like, well, it's not like she's done anything for us. It was like,
exactly. There's no attachment, right?
Right. Yeah. Like, it's sad that. So it's just, you know, acknowledging the humanity of someone without putting them on a pedestal or, you know, putting it in such a, you know, such a different light than most people. And, you know, it's just interesting to me, the way we view others, whether they're here now, you know, alive now, or in their passing. You know, there is, of course, that sense of, you know, reverence and respect. But yet, where is that reverence and respect when they're alive?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's just really what it boils down to me. It's, I was thinking, I'm sure that some of these stories and these thoughts that we share with others, as we're talking about them in the past tense, that they would like to perhaps have heard that at some point while they're alive, to receive that.
Yep.
So that's and I have a feeling like with our young friend who passed, that I think she was able to receive that. And I'm not saying that people didn't, but I'm hoping that at some point for the people that are in my life, whether it's said, you know, verbally or, you know, even in a Hallmark card or, you know, personal card, whatever, mm-hmm. that it's said, you know, what this person, you know, means mm-hmm. to me, or how this person has influenced my life. You know, just a way of showing gratitude for them, you know, now, not like, oh, yeah, well, you know, talk about you nicely when you pass, you know.
Yeah.
Keep it as present as possible, I guess, in keeping with that message that Marguerite picked.
Yep. Yep. So. That's why it's so important to just let people, you know, let people know that you, that they impact you, that you made a difference. We have such a limited idea of the ripple effect. It's incredibly humbling. And it's all about making space. You know, I think everything we're going through is about making space. You know, making that space just to slow down, to step back, to acknowledge what, you know, you might need in that given moment, whether people understand that or not. Just, yeah, it really is stepping into that grace. We don't do that. Oh, I don't know if you hear, there's like massive sirens. Outside.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to New York. My goodness. Okay. Okay, they should be passing through. This is what looks like my lullaby growing up.
Yeah, there's that scene in My Cousin Vinny where he tries to not be interrupted in his sleep, and
yep,
and stuff like he goes through all this trauma of like, okay, I just gotta get some sleep. There's a train that goes through in the middle of the night. There's, you know, all the whistle that goes up. And then you know, he gets thrown in jail for contempt of court and sleeps just fine amidst all the fighting in the jail.
Exactly. It's like, there we go.
This is home.
Yeah, it takes me a minute, you know? Like when I was staying with, it's so peaceful. I slept from not being a great sleeper, I slept very well. In your place, but it took a minute, and then I got into it, just to get used to the sounds, like the what is that, cicadas, crickets, that
nature sounds like nature out here.
Not Tito, I'm gonna cut you. that's a classic. Oh, there's another one. Something going on in these streets, but yes, just to be in another environment. But yeah, that's true. Like I get more, Jesus, what is happening outside? I get more afeared when it's like still and quiet. Well, you see me, then, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
what
you
is
see
that?
Me in action. I'm a lunatic, and then I get into it.
There's definitely that trigger of what's going on. Like that's the air conditioning.
Okay, what's that?
Kicking on.
What is that?
Oh, that's, where's that dog running? The dog just saw something. That's
that?
A dog. That's fine.
Oh, okay. What's that?
No cause for concern.
But no cause for concern. But speaking of nature, because, you know, we always have to talk about it. So I finished season one of our favorite show that we're watching.
I haven't gotten back to it.
It's very short.
I know.
Okay,
I had
a
feeling it would be.
Yes, they were dropping like flies. Like I'm out.
Yeah,
it's crazy because from seeing the most recent, so we're talking about the show Alone, which they have one season on Netflix, and then it's on the History Channel, and then I have a student that is doing the same thing that I did, found it on Netflix, and then went, and she told me it's on Hulu. So now I'm watching it on Hulu, but. Because it's easier than watching it on the History Channel. So I, season one, and it was incredible for us to like know that we're like seeing this because of therapy. Like, oh my God. Because somebody had asked me in class, what's your favorite show? I said, you're not going to believe that this is my favorite show right now. You're not going to believe it, but I'm going to say that this is my favorite show right now. But I'm watching it for like medicinal purposes. But so I'm not going to give it away, but compared to the two seasons that I saw, which were the last two seasons, how much longer the seasons are later. But for the first season, very, very short. I'm not going to give it away, but you're going to finish that season real quick because it's just a handful of episodes. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Yeah. And at some point I will start season two, but tangentially, I think that's the word, I got into, I'm really into it now, a documentary on HBO Max called The Vow, and it's a sequel to the documentary of the same name, which I thought, well, why are they doing a sequel to a documentary? But it's so much better. The first one was good, but it's so much better. And it's about the NXIVM cult. Oh, my God.
Oh.
It's so cool. Oh, when women were branded.
I've read about it.
Oh, my baby Jesus. Oh, my God. You don't even need to watch the original doc, which came out maybe a year or two ago. And it's made by a very well-known in the spiritual community filmmaker, Mark Vicente, and his fame comes from What the Bleep, which really was, if you remember that doc, which came out,
oh,
I think,
I love
at
that
least
one.
15. So it's crazy. So that's what really piqued my interest. So, of course, we also What the Bleep. That was groundbreaking. I mean, that was before The Secret. That was before, you know, that was really putting metaphysical thought into the mainstream, and it made money. And he, thank goodness, as a documentarian, he had so much footage, because what was going to be a documentary or just footage to document Keith Raniere, who's the founder of this, I think he's in jail right now, and then it turned out to be this film that's now out that is just removing the curtain and the veil of what goes on with dominance and submission and just the genius and madness of the human brain, of the human mind. And how one in their brilliance and genius, if that is not care of one with a clear consciousness, oh, my goodness. And brilliant women allowing themselves.
They would be part of that. Yeah, they were
allowing themselves to be branded. Mm-hmm. Which is the complete act of submission, and it's really a form of slavery, and it is. I'm not going to give it away, but oh my goodness. Yeah, and I've been down that rabbit hole. I just finished episode 3. But it's really interesting how what I'm drawn to, you know, this show called Alone, where just these people are just thrown into the wilderness and whoever survives the longest, you know, gets the money. And very interesting how season one, I'm not saying it's sexist, but it was guys.
Yeah, it was all guys.
It was all guys. And so they would say 10 men remain, 9 men remain, 8, you know, like, and it just like flies. And then because I have watched subsequent, like the recent seasons, and then you just see, you know, a few women and their resilience.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really amazing. Like, I wonder if they ever did a season of just women, which they really should do, actually.
Mm-hmm.
They really should do that. It'd be really interesting to see how if it's just women. But this first season, very short. But you think about, like, just having nothing and leading your life and taking nothing and turning it into something, taking antimatter and turning it into matter. That is life at its core. And then you fast forward to this bookend of these very intelligent educated, aspirational women who think that this is their way of changing the world. It's run by a mad genius. It's insane. And it attracted a lot of the Hollywood community. It is insane, like a big player in all of this. I never watched the show, and I don't know if she's in jail or whatever. I should look it up. I never watched the show Smallville, which I guess is part of the Superman franchise.
Yeah.
But Allison Mack.
Yeah, yeah, that's so, how I think that's what I remember is that she was the one who started recruiting, right?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
She was recruiting people, women.
Yeah. And I don't know her as an actor. I know her name. I know her infamy. I never watched that show. And I guess she was the star of that show. I have no idea. I don't know who she played. I don't know what she did. But you think Scientology is out there. Scientology is Girl Scouts compared to this shit. My God. So it's really interesting the bookends of the resilience of having nothing and to forge your path from your own consciousness and your own resilience to paying all this money to be part of a cult and to be so conditioned to allow yourself to be so conditioned that you are actually co-signing to slavery. And I'm using that word literally. Literally. Oh, it takes the term white slavery to a whole new level.
Mm.
It's very interesting that that's what's feeding my brain, these two bookends. I know it's healing. I know it's for a purpose in terms of my growth, or that this is what I'm using to educate myself about my own consciousness. I don't know. I just find it fascinating.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, nothing like a romantic comedy. That's what I think.
Oh, but, yeah, you're right. That's a pretty large range of of situations.
Isn't it? And if you think about the Alpha and the Omega, like one is about really being clear and focused and you have no escape but to dig deep into your soul and to be strong so that you can survive under the most extreme conditions, and there's predators afoot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, or you're on this compound, you know, allowing yourself to get branded like an animal. All in the name of, you know, feminism. Okay. Talk about master slave, you know, so with alone that you're surviving, you are the master of your universe, of your consciousness. Amazing, you know, the warrior spirit. And then you get to the point that you're, you know, in this very privileged, you're paying money to participate in this community that so over intellectualizes, and then you put the founder, who is a total psychopath, sociopath, brilliant, genius, very convincing.
It's crazy,
but to be, and I look at these things. And I'm like, well, where am I on that spectrum? Where are any of us on that? If you really think about that, those are the two extremes. Having absolutely nothing and finding your way, feeling like you have everything, and then the other side, feeling like you have everything that you need. You have everything that you need, but it's not enough. So then it's such extreme submission and surrendering of control and your autonomy. You see how they're polar opposites?
Mm-hmm.
So where do we, right? Where do we where are we on that spectrum? Where do we land on that spectrum? Right?
Yeah. That is interesting.
Yeah. It's fascinating. It's, yeah, especially, well, thank goodness, I have done so much work on extricating myself from the situation because it was me and two other women. We didn't know about each other.
Right.
I didn't drink the Kool-Aid. Thank goodness I listened to my intuition, and although I may have been feeling otherwise because oxytocin, that will get activated, but I said to myself, this is oxytocin. This is addiction of the body. You're growing. Keep moving. Don't ask for anything. Da-da-da-da-da. Thank goodness. But these other two, they were a step away from getting branded. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I left the cult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank goodness. Right? But it's the same type of brain that these men have, you know? And then you're on two different apps talking to 20 women each, claiming to be something that you're not. It's the same thing. It's distilled and it's at the bottom of the food chain for that, but it's the same thing. Submitting to a man. Thank goodness I didn't let it get that far. Thank goodness. Thank goodness I always had one foot in, one foot out. I didn't know why tangibly, but energetically I knew. But the benefit of my self-development and my self-understanding was that was the tuition. And then the course ended. I'm like, okay. And I graduated with flying colors. Thank goodness.
Well, we get
I want
this,
nothing to do.
This,
yes, go ahead.
There's a hand raised, I think. I know who it is. And also
okay.
We have someone asking for a card in chat,
okay,
just to give
so,
you an idea. But,
okay.
But
so we're ready. So whatever order you want to do. But that's all I have to say. So I think that's why I'm drawn to these shows.
I know. I get it. I think
yeah.
I think it is because you're right. It's the same brain. So, you know.
It's the same brain.
Whatever
right.
is put in front of you in your environment, I think it really ties up well with the message we got earlier.
Yep.
About being present. So when you're assessing what's really going on, so like in alone, you know, it is just you. It's just you and nature, and you got to figure it out, you know?
Right. Right.
But again, these are people who are aware of that and have trained, you know, they have those skills. But even they
right.
are usually caught off guard with, you know, how difficult it is and how much they miss their family, their community, and
right.
you know, even with that very first episode, well, the first season of seeing alone, and some of them are just like, no, I this is my choice to be here.
Oh, they
got to
quit.
Get out.
A day, the next
and,
day, yeah, they
yeah,
got fast.
Like this is not worth it. So they know when to stop, or they've said this is I'm done. Doesn't matter what people think of me. I don't, you know, people don't want to be looked at poorly, but it's like, yeah, but that's your life out there. That is your life. So it's interesting in that situation,
yep.
those situations, how quickly it goes. And then in
yep.
this other extreme of the show that you're watching based on a sex cult.
a cult, and that's all community. So it's like people can't be alone.
That is a community,
it's crazy.
Right? So it is.
It's all
like
about community.
Too much of a
yeah.
too much of a what could on the yeah. surface is a good thing, but then the reasons why you do things,
why you join,
why you pay the price,
literally,
whatever, you know, monetarily,
with your body,
physically,
everything. Yes.
Right.
Yep. Yep.
Interesting. Very interesting. So let me let's do the call, and then it's
okay.
a card for White Lily, who has joined the chat. So that's what we'll try to do within the last few minutes of the show. Okay. All right.
Sure.
Here we go. Hello.
Hello, ladies.
I know it's Jennifer.
Hello, Miss Jen. Hi. I just wanted you to know there's a Facebook page called Are We Dating the Same Man? New York City.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm not on Facebook.
Oh, New York City?
Yeah.
It's New York City.
Oh,
so they'll put a picture up and people will say, oh, I'm dating him too. Or,
oh,
yeah,
Jesus.
I know him and he's married. Or things like that.
Oh, Jesus. That's so funny. Oh, I'm sure.
Well,
it's a public service.
It's a public,
public service announcement. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not on Facebook. Oh, yeah, because he would be all over that. Oh, my God. That's just hysterical.
Can I have a card too, please?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, so let me just pull it up. Stand by. It's a three card show today. Okay.
Woohoo!
Yeah, I love that first message for Marguerite.
Yeah,
amazing.
That was really good.
Okay, it's the database is up, so I'm ready when you are, Jen.
Pick.
Okay. So the number with this message is 915. Oh, wow. I love this one. This is one, again, it's like I'm reading all of these for the first time because I don't know what I'm writing when I'm writing them. The cracks in the foundation of your energetic field are a gift as they provide the space and opportunity for release, clarity, and transformation.
Ooh,
wow. I'll read it again. The cracks in the foundation of your energetic field are a gift as they provide the space and opportunity for relief, clarity, and transformation. 915. That's crazy.
Right away with those numbers and just with that message, all of those numbers totally make sense. You know, the nine is the bigger picture. It is also about endings and the going to the next level. So the cracks totally make sense for that. Usually with this nine, as you let things go, you are by nature creating space. So totally makes sense. The one being you in the middle, going through this transition, and nines and fives are big transition numbers. Five is a transition in the middle of a cycle. Nine is that transition from one cycle to the next. So with the five then at the end, this is that expansion that happens when you go outside of your box. I talked about earlier, going off of your foundation of that four. So when you have cracks, I love how they put that in there. There's space. So it's not,
mm-hmm.
Oh, this is it. This is, I can only do it this way because this is it. There's space to now rebuild and build up and expand out, which is our nature as humans. And so that's the full spectrum. Next level ending, preparing for the next level. There's space. With the five,
yep.
That is by nature not only getting into more space, but expanding your current space, going beyond what you thought you could do, redefining your own borders, your own boundaries. And it's usually not reining it in. It's going, well, you know, not in all places, but it's going beyond what you thought you were and what you thought you knew. And you add all that up and it ends up being a six, which, as we all know,
wow.
Love for self and loving the person you were and loving the person you are becoming, and being gentle with that process. Cause it's never like, oh, I woke up and I'm a princess. You know, it's like all, you got to kiss a lot of frogs or, you know, whatever it is you have to do. Those things that are transforming you are usually not really easy or pretty or sometimes not even fun, until in hindsight you realize the wisdom of having to go through that process. So,
right.
That love has to be there, even if it's just a small amount, because you can grow and you can build on that. So that's why when we talk about knowing who you are, even if you don't have to be completely certain, it's not like I have all these labels, this is it, but just knowing at the core of who you are, having that sense of you and sticking with the best parts of that. And everything's relative. You know, some people say, well, that's not the best part. Well, that's the one I can see. You know, that's what I'm working with right now until I can see more and allow for more. But, you know, when you go through these transitions, all those cracks in that space, at some point you'll feel it, you'll see it, and you've already made space, but you can allow it in. And that's where that, kind of shaking my moving my body around, like that's where you're feeling more in your confidence, because you're realizing you were able to do things that you didn't think you were going to do or that you could do because you never had to. Powerful stuff. That's a great one, Jen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Thanks for picking it. And for those of you on Facebook, check out that's a good tip.
If you're in the New York City area.
Because if I was to go back on Facebook, which I don't plan to because I've been off of it for probably over 10 years now, my computer would probably burst into flames. So it would just explode. So, but that's good to know. Isn't that crazy that a Facebook group has to exist?
Oh, are we dating the same guy? I'm sure they have it in Atlanta. I know they have it in Toronto. So I just think it's funny to look at the pictures and listen to the comments about these people.
What entertainment. And the hits keep coming,
right?
Yes, it really is entertainment. So before we, I just want to stay with us for a second, Jen, and then we'll do White Lilies in a couple minutes. But it just makes me laugh. You know, it is entertaining. So of course, now that I find myself. Well, it's so funny because the last time I saw my hair guy, which was about a week and a half ago, of course, the breakup had happened in between, you know, getting my roots touched up, you know, because you go every 5 weeks. So he's like, how are you? I'm like, very single. and just joking about all of that and how I made the conscious choice to not get on any mainstream dating apps because I know too many people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And those things are really, they move very, very fast. And there's a lot of swiping going on. So those days are behind me. Not going to even think about a Bumble or any of those. Done, 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 done. And also, too, that sociopath is, you know, I don't want to run into him. And I'm sure he's on. I don't know what he's doing. I don't care. So that's the fast lane. So I have put myself in the slow lane. And, yes, so the only app I'm on is eHarmony. I have not interacted with anybody because Slim Pickens, you know, I'm a woman over 50. Slim Pickens, you know. Slim Pickens. Oh, it's yeah, but that's my entertainment. Delete, 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 delete. But there's no swiping. You just delete because you go through a psychological profile. Like you have to invest work and a little bit of money. These other ones, not so much. So I always think about the show, you know, Alone, right? Where I'm just take it one day at a time. And I have with every day that passes. There's less of an expectation, you know, I won't renew in April, and it's just there. I have cast my, you know, my fishing net. And then when you say, Jen, about, you know, are we dating the same man? You know, it's almost to the point where with every day it's becoming less and less of a thing to me. And I think that's very healthy. You know, then I'm watching these women getting branded, you know, for white slavery and to have sex with the master. I'm like, you know, I think I'm good. And it's interesting because the statistic is, and then we'll wrap it up and I'll take White Lily's card. The statistic is or that men are lonely. After a breakup, women are empowered. And I'm like, okay. And it's true. It's true. Like, I spent yesterday thinking to myself, oh, my God, you know, I'm so busy with work and my household and other things and just self-care or whatever. Like, I am so glad that part of the merry-go-round is removed from the equation. I'm so glad that I'm not recovering from a hot date and I have to go to work the next day with no, you know, and I don't sleep well when I'm in a situation like that. I'm so glad I don't have to deal with those logistics. You know, because I don't have to tell you, Jen, as a single mom, there's logistics if you're going to go out and play. There's so many logistics you have to deal with. And I'm like, oh, this is like a little vacation. So I'm really beginning slowly to shift my perception of being empowered. And I'm so happy to be single. I'm still going to keep my fishing pole in the water, mind you. But I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Like, I'm finding the empowerment. Not a lonely bone in my body, you know. And maybe if I had an empty nest, I'd feel different. But because my nest is really full, not really an issue. But anyway, we love when you call. Love that you pulled that message. And White Lily, stand by. All right. So she's going to do it through the chat.
Yeah.
Okay. The database is pulled. All right. I'm ready when you guys are.
All right. So type in the word pick.
Pick. Okay, here we go. All right. The number associated with this message is 523. Okay. Oh, I like this message. These messages are all great today. When gentle alignment with your source self connects to wholeness, then you can love your flaws for being great teachers and shift into miracles. Ooh. I'll read it again. When gentle alignment with your source self connects to wholeness, then you can love your flaws for being great teachers and shift into miracles.
Oh.
Nice.
And we got
love that.
523. That's a really nice
yes,
one.
Ma'am.
So we have more of these transitional fives about changes. And so, yeah, this is all these messages are really aligned. Like that's the overall message of the day of being able to change, going through that and feeling good about the outcomes because of all the things that you've learned through that experience. And five is also a number of experience. So when you get the five, the two about cooperation, support, and then the three about then communication and sharing that energy, being that light, we do bring about a bigger sense of self and the change that happens through that sense of self and the update of what that means. So really cool message, cool energy for that. And because all that equals a one, that's why I say that self.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So very good. We're out of time now. So I hope she got that.
Right, but
that
thinking of alignment. Yeah, but that's okay. So there you go, White Lily. But thinking about, like, just bringing it back to the beginning of the show, like all that energy that we started with holding space for Josh, Marguerite, and her family, that's what it is. All these messages really synergistically are surging towards that same greater awareness and surrender. So we love you, Marguerite. Our best to Josh and your family. The grace that you're exhibiting as you're weathering the storm, your choice to surrender and be in the eye of the storm is really where to be right now. So we love you, and we know that you will be texting updates, and then they let me know as you text the updates. So we'll leave it there. If you all need to get a hold of us, you can send an email to loablend@gmail.com, and we'll be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Please take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, let the light do the work and to brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love you. Bye.